Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bring players in terms of wanting to be around this and opting out. Saw the latest with Tim Hart. Don't know. Can't say for sure, but have to imagine, you know, that has to be some of your decision. When it's COVID related, that said, to go back to the Silverfield thing, you know, it's kind of typical rule, policy rule that on something like this, you don't try to, you know, go at players, go straight at them. You would go through the university first to direct your question. So I understand his frustration there. He's absolutely got him to that on that point. So for the frustration, again, I can understand it because you can argue that it did some damage. You can argue that it did some damage over the weekend, the narrative that was out there. You basically got people assuming that Tiger players are just running haywire, just going crazy, making their own decisions. They do it after Arkansas State to a point that you got folks saying, well, they should be punished to that sense. When frankly, clearly they've gone, what we know so far is they've gone out of their way to follow the protocol. So that part's unfortunate. It does do some damage to you. You become the butt of a joke as you were Friday going into Saturday. That said, I wish it hadn't that how long that story was out there and was allowed to do. I wish that hadn't happened, whether again that's on the CA pulling that back or on Memphis to shoot that thing down.
Yep. And so I don't know, you know, what comes next. Houston, as we know, they have scheduled a game with Baylor. Memphis would like to get that game rescheduled, of course. But to me, it just reinforces just the times we're in, man. I think this is a story. This is a product of the time. This whole thing is a product of the times that we are living in, man. It's just we've never been through anything like it before, you know, and I think you're kind of seeing that. You're kind of seeing that in the way Memphis handled the story. You're seeing it kind of in the way this one got reported. It's one of those things, man, and I think there's blame to go around, obviously. I don't think the answer is to restrict media coverage. I think that's totally counterproductive to your program.
Right, you want to continue to get the word out about your program.
Here's the truth. The fact that story got reported was not a result of you having good access to your program. Those two things are totally unrelated. And in fact, what you find is that the less access that you grant, the more media is sort of willing to write stories like that. Or, you know, it's just a give and take. Like, we're humans, right? We'll go back to Josh Pastner. People were a lot more reluctant to rip Josh than they were to rip Tubby because Josh was nice to the media. Like, he would call you. He would take your calls. He would tell you things. He would, you know, at some points, let you into practice. And so you might have thought, I kind of got it good. Do I really need to say that Memphis can't coach or whatever? I mean, you still did, you know. You wrote after Oklahoma State that, you know, they got out-coached or whatever.
It's a fine line you walk.
But then guess what happened? You couldn't go back to practice after that one, right?
He took the access away.
Yeah, which is Bush League. It's crap.
Well, it was, are we just going to sit here and throw the players under a bus? Right. My whole point of that, we've discussed this with Aki, was one of the coaches, but my whole point of that was you can't just throw this on players when you are admitting out loud in a game you were blown out that you didn't have a plan
B. Absolutely.
You know, so it was more or less a story that said, well, when you say you don't have a plan B, everybody blew it from the players up to the coaches.
Yep.
But the idea of that you were insinuating that coaches had anything to do with this loss at all it resulted in being banned yes. from practice. But it's a fine line you walk too, John, because again, you're trying to keep the relationship
Absolutely.
On the level enough with
Absolutely.
That coach, right? That he does, that you do have a relationship with him. You can stories like this.
Yep.
You couldn't. You nip him in the bud That's because exactly of the, right. because of that relationship. And so again,
it's a give and take.
Yeah,
it's a give and take.
But the spirit of the truth's always got to be there at the forefront.
Right. And unfortunately, it does not. I mean, are we parsing here? I do think because of the connotation.
They don't run with that unless somebody high ranking tells them party bus. But the person that in that case, don't you have to get two sources? Like there was a rule back when I was doing this, and this might actually provide something where you had to have two sources when you were CA unless you had the coach or the AD. In that case, you could get the first one and roll on it. But up until that, there was a reason why you had to. You had to back it up. So that's why when we say we're assuming that had to come from some high-ranking official, because at that point, right, it looks like it's one source. And so from that rule, and again, I got to imagine, you know, there's a lot of still the same people at the CA, but that hadn't changed much. They felt like they could roll with it because of who they got it from.
Yep.
In this case, the person they got it from had it wrong.
Yep.
Right, or at least you can call it
characterization of it.
The characterization of it was completely wrong, and it allowed. I go back to the point: you're programmed to sit out there to dry for a while. Then you further complicate things with the way that your release was written. That sort of seemed to confirm what the report was. When frankly, with the way it was, like I'm talking about how mad Silverfield is, and I get it, man. You could have killed it at the very beginning. So again, you can't make Memphis the one who did the most wrong here.
No, that's true.
That's clearly
I
starts
agree.
With the report.
I agree
but
with
there's
that.
An absolute way to kill this
yep.
and do it earlier to where you're not hanging out to dry as much. And again, you've got a coach in his first year
right.
trying to handle all this mess too. He's mad. He's
well,
frustrated.
And let me be clear,
and
yes.
So there's some of, well, should I have to answer it publicly if the story
right.
is just wrong?
Right.
But frankly, with your program hanging out there, that one falls under your responsibilities too. Shouldn't have had to do that.
Right.
But you absolutely have to once that story's out, and it's lasting
yep.
for hours.
I don't blame Silverfield for his reaction at all. I think it's actually a very natural reaction.
It is the natural. You bristle up.
Yeah, because you're like, yo, this isn't even right. This isn't even accurate. This isn't even what happened. And so I 100% understand it. But my hope is that it does not result in changes to the way that he sort of runs his program access-wise, because I think that's just totally counterproductive and will not, you know, it's not good for the fans, it's not good for anybody. So anyway, that's
and also it penalizes your players and the ability to tell their stories. Like in the long run, we get the initial reaction and wanting to admonish the press and understand that and in some cases called for, but when you do it on down the road, you end up just costing your players and your program the positive attention that it deserves when you cut them all the way out. Get the whole you got media members trying to reach out to your players or rather have they're not following the proper protocol in this instance, which media relations protocol over there, and being mad about that. But don't punish the media long term here, because in the end, right? I mean, you get out what you want. In the end, it ends up turning and punishing your own guys. You're not getting your story out. As a story that very much deserves to
yep.
players that very much deserve the attention. So,
yep.
so cooler, you know, cooler heads after a while.
That's
cooler
right.
heads.
Yep. All right. We will come back. We're going to be joined by Ryan McGee at 1:25. We'll talk to him about college football, his new book, all that and more. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say play 92.9 ESPN.
Everywhere you look these days, things are starting to come back. Football, school, the institutions that make up the fabric of our lives. So there's no better time to come back and visit another enduring Memphis institution, Oak Hall. Seriously, if you haven't been back, stop in and see them today. You'll find the same helpful people and the same beautiful clothing. I know I always feel restored just walking through the place. Pick up some shorts or knit shirts from Peter Millar. Get yourself something for the outdoors. I've loved stopping in at Oak Hall on a fall weekend just to browse. And since you'll likely be watching the football games on TV this year, it's a way of getting a little taste of normal back in your lives. During the last 6 months, I think we've all learned how much relationships matter. Relationships with family and friends, and also with the institutions and places that we hold dear. For a whole lot of Memphians, Oak Hall is one of those places. So stop in and see your old friends sometime soon.
You
You've seen him on national television. You've heard him on national radio. Kevin Todd, president and CEO of thesportsbrokers.com, is releasing his Monday night NFL blowout winner absolutely free on a recorded message. Call 888-977-2788 and get tonight's winners absolutely free. Start your football season on a winning note. There's no one better against the spread than Kevin Todd. Become part of Kevin Todd's inner circle and you will have access to his upset specials. Dogs winning outright, favorites running away with the win by 3 to 4 touchdowns. Let him earn your business. He loves tonight's game. Call 888-977-2788. Absolutely free. Kevin Todd is the nation's number one handicapper. He's the professional that professionals turn to. Call now 888-977-2788. That's 888-977-2788. Absolutely free on a recorded message. Kevin Todd turns outcomes into incomes. Call 888-977-2788 now.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
NFL season is in the books. We do have actually some horrible news. Oh, you're right. You're exactly right. We got Monday night tonight.
You hate the Titans, but they make their debut.
I do. I really do. Michael Thomas has a high ankle sprain.
Something had to be wrong there.
He's going to try to play through it. And I hope he does because he gets the Raiders next week. And we know what that means. He's going to eat. I'm just telling you, he's going to eat. I mean, hell, Robbie Anderson had 116 yards.
Someone had tweeted us last week and said Robbie Anderson was going to burn y'all up. Now, you get the win so that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
But Robbie Anderson absolutely burnt y'all up.
He had one big touchdown.
He burnt you up on
He had one big play.
Robbie, though, man.
And an L. Well, Robbie.
He doesn't run but one route,
I know.
Which is the fly route.
That's it.
And he burnt you up like toast on it. Y'all still got the win. Two gloves.
I think he can run a slant.
Not in catch it.
Just one route, man.
Man, that man is the fly guy king.
Man, that man used to dominate 7-on-7.
Mm-hmm.
They just say, "Hey, Robbie, run." That was the play. He would just catch that thing, basket catch.
Yeah, we ain't spending any more time on Robbie, especially with y'all getting that win.
Yeah, so
congrats on that.
Man,
Titans tonight.
Man,
real
thank
team.
You, thank you for that. In terms of just the rest of week one, you mentioned it. I mean, the Titans have they're 3-point favorites tonight. First sort of game of a new culture, you know, this new winning culture that they're trying to
new winning culture. Boy, listen to you.
It's a very brand new winning culture. They finally had a little bit of success. They got a taste of the playoffs last year, won a couple games. You know, now what? You know, anybody can have a miracle run, right? Anybody. Loyola got to the Final Four.
The what? Is that the biggest development for them over
the
weekend?
Elite Eight.
Again, that's saying hopefully that you can handle a Broncos team that will – road game, yeah, but that's going to be without Von Miller. The hope possibly is that you just take care of business, which no team in the AFC South to this point other than Jacksonville, but we know what we think about them, has been able to show you, at least the two that we thought might be contenders with you in terms of Houston and in terms of the Indianapolis Colts. Phillip Rivers throws for over 300 yards, but what does he do, Don? He throws the two picks as well. And that was the difference. That's what allowed a Jacksonville team that, frankly, had no business beating the Colts to beat him. Now you see the news, too, that Mack's gone. What's he gone? What is it, John? ACL gone for the year on Marlon Mack. And so if you're a Titans fan, even if you fail tonight, you still got to feel pretty good about your chances in the South. Houston against KC back on Thursday. What didn't nearly look nearly as dynamic. Imagine that without DeAndre Hopkins, one of the top three receivers in the league, and he showed it in a win over the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. So we had kind of already thought that. But with the Colts, you wondered, and you've been saying it back and forth, I'll give you the credit, that Phillip Rivers doesn't have it anymore. That said, he started out okay, but he ends up with the two killer picks that allow a Jacksonville team to beat you. To go back to the point, Titans got to be feeling really good right now in terms of what they've seen from week one in the AFC South. Again, you got the Broncos tonight. then you got a big one. It's a big one because it's division. Jacksonville, there's a chance to get off to a pretty good start here if you're the Tennessee Titans and I guess look the part. You know, live up to the expectations for a change as opposed to whether last year was surprising in the playoffs or sort of coming up short when it came to expectations the previous years.
Yeah, so it's a new...
This is their division to have is the point.
Well, it is. I mean, there's no excuse. There's absolutely no excuse for the Titans not to win that division. I don't know if Cortland Sutton's playing tonight. That seems to be up in the air. You got to win this game. You got to win this game. The Broncos are not good. They are not good at all. They don't have Von Miller. I don't know if Bradley Chubb's playing.
Tennessee 3-point favorite on the road.
I'm going to be honest with you. I got the Titans. Like, I'm invested in the Titans.
No, you're not. Not for anything other than money reasons. Like, you got love for them.
Like, I have them winning tonight. Like, I've got them winning the game tonight. I believe it's in Denver, right?
Yes. So I sit up here telling you road game.
Got them winning. Got them winning tonight. So that's I believe they're going to start the season 1-0. In terms of the rest of the NFL, you know, we mentioned it. I mean, the Saints are and again, I go back to this. Drew Brees did not even play well. Like, I don't even think he played well by his standards. But they just rolled
18 of 30 for 160 yards. Yeah. Just 5.3 a pass, two touchdowns, was sacked once, but didn't look like prolific Drew Brees. May not have to be.
Well, if Michael Thomas is hurt, that hurts. Like, if he ends up not, you know, missing time or not being anything close to what he was the third highest graded receiver in the league last year. They need him. They depend on him.
But Kamara looked fine. He looked healthy. Now there's some worry about his back
Sanders.
Going in. Looked like the same
Cook.
Guy. Latavius even got him a few.
Yeah. So, you know, I thought the Saints looked great. Not the Patriots, but the Bucks did not. Bucks did not look great in Tom Brady's debut. And listen, I don't know if we can't really rule yet. We can't weigh in yet on whether or not, you know, who was more responsible, Bill or Tom. But looks like so far Bill's having a little bit of an easier go. It was the Dolphins.
That. And they're not at a point where they're ready to be relevant in the AFC East. We saw that from the Dolphins. So it's who you were playing. The idea that you rushed Cam 15 times, and I'll give him all the credit in the world, he looked healthy. 75 yards, that's five a pop, scored two touchdowns based on that. Sure, all that looked good. And we can sit here and say that that on today, September 15th, sure looks like Belichick's got the upper hand here, especially when Tom throws two picks, one of them a pick six. He's 43 years old, we know it. But I ain't ready to stake everything on those two things here today.
Yep.
Because, again, Cam is not going to hold up for an entire season rushing him 15 times. I know if you're the Pats, you got him essentially for free, and you're willing to do whatever it takes to get through this season. Hey, well, whether it's showing Brady or whatever you hope, whatever your goals are this season, you'll do whatever you've got to do with Cam. But for Cam, that ain't the way. In terms of him getting through healthy and then getting the big contract, whether it's with the Patriots or somebody else, he's not going to make it that far if they have to run 15 times. The reason they're running Cam 15 times is because Edelman and Harry,
that's right.
That ain't enough for
it
them.
They don't
have enough weapons for Cam. And it was the same deal for Brady as well. The weapons had gotten thin, albeit, yes, Brady's arm looked like it was 43 years old. That's starting to show. Let's go back to the point. If you're a Pats fan, you can't be feeling awfully good about this one. Because of the way you want it. Again, they don't have the weapons for Cam to run what should be, frankly, you use the threat of Cam running as a threat, right, to keep defenses honest. You shouldn't be running him 15 times and expecting that to be the way you're going to win big this season. That will not work. That is not a formula, John, that can continue to work for them all season long. The NFL is too physical, Cam too fragile at this point in his career for that to continue to work. So good for you, Pats fans, that you continued the winning without Tom Brady. Got to throw it in his face on a day that he threw two interceptions and lost his game. But this is not – do not think you're going to win big playing football like this.
Right. I agree.
Offensive football.
I agree. They are you're just hoping that defense is, you know, sound enough to make yourself competitive.
Yeah, I'll tell you again, it was Miami with a broke-up Devontae Parker, too. Let's say that as well.
What are we doing here with Fitz, right? I mean, isn't it time? It's over. Come on. Let's put Tua in. If he's ready to go, put him in.
No, clearly he's not ready to go. They're not ready to do that.
I don't know.
But Mahomes watched.
Yeah.
Do we not think that worked
that
well for
him? That was at least
him?
A winning club, though. I mean, the Chiefs were winning. They were relevant. You know, I don't know what the weight is for.
If you're him, and it's wrong, if you're the head coach down Flores, why would you fast forward it? Right? I mean, you come out, Tua gets banged up, he gets killed, he looks more he doesn't look the part.
Yeah.
That's the more onus on them. Okay, they could say, well, frankly, this ain't gonna work and you aren't either. When you got the future ahead of you like that, and rightfully, you want him to watch. You want to make sure he's healthy before you put him out there again in a very physical league. Why wouldn't you push that down the road when you can if you're a head coach in the NFL? It's absolutely the right move, first of all, and then for his job security, you absolutely keep the future a year out. So you're playing with that future. So you've got that future. So you got a chance.
Yeah, something to look forward to.
Yeah, well, yes. Which is, do we think it's going to be a lot better under Tua? We'll see. We'll see if he can stay healthy. But you don't have to worry about that this year. Yep. You've got a grace period. Yep. So they're making the right moves. Miami is. It's smart too because they may have gotten a little frisky and think, okay, we can do it this year. No, man, put that off. Your future is coming up. We'll see.
Yeah, and then we got some college basketball news before we get to Ryan McGee. The Division I Council is set to vote Wednesday on moving the start of the college hoop season to the 21st of November. According to Jeff Goodman, his source said there will be a recommendation of playing a minimum of 4 non-conference games and a potential to start 8 hours a week to work with players. Target date is September 21st. I believe they get 4 right now. They get 4 a week on the court right now with players. That would be double. Obviously, that makes a huge difference to have time with their players. 4 non-conference games is, to me, amazing because, again, there was a time where I was sort of operating as though there would be no non-conference. And Memphis' non-conference schedule this year, I don't know if you guys have taken a look, it's pretty damn good. It's probably the best non-conference schedule they've had in many, many years, if we're being honest. Because
hey, you want to keep Tennessee and Auburn, don't
exactly.
You?
Keep Auburn,
those
keep Tennessee.
For sure.
The Atlantis, you know.
We'll see.
Where the South Dakota, whatever the hell it ends up doing, wherever it ends up being. Or
you got to get all those teams up there as well to agree to that.
But I think they're probably going to try to preserve those because they're so loaded, right? Those fields are so freaking loaded. And so this is good news for the University of Memphis because we know they play Georgia. We know they play Auburn.
Yeah,
we know they
keep Georgia. They if that's one you got to cancel, fine. Just,
well, I know you definitely you would do whatever it takes to keep that Ole Miss game on schedule, right? You would stand in front of the bulldozer and say, "You ain't taking this one."
Ole Miss got a better chance of being a tournament team this year than Georgia does.
Okay, yeah. Okay, well, so.
Okay.
Yes.
So
I agree.
Still helps you if
because Georgia does not have Anthony Edwards anymore. There's not much intrigue to that game.
Heck no.
So let's just think about the games. If you have to choose 4, right? I mean, Tennessee,
like off top,
Auburn,
Auburn and Tennessee. Yep. That goes without saying. Again, what else you got before I'm throwing that Ole Miss?
The battle for Atlantis. About it.
Well, I mean, that's three. That's what possibly three games.
Three, yeah. So you get 5. You keep 5. You get the battle for Atlantis potentially. It could be as many as 5 or 3.
Hopefully that won't count.
Right.
Hopefully that's separate.
Right. But from
the 4 other.
Honestly, like if moving forward we don't get these doo-doo games, you know, against Mississippi Valley State, and I mean, I hate to say it for them, but those games don't mean anything. Nobody wants to go to those games. Nobody wants to watch those games. They're just basically, you know, tune-ups.
I don't want to go to Georgia.
You don't even want to go to Georgia. So there you have it. We'll know exactly on Wednesday when the college basketball season starts. And that is reason to celebrate in my mind. That is absolutely.
So we're getting a vote on that. And then Big Ten at some point, right? Football is going to do something at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Could happen today. Could happen tomorrow. You know, it's coming soon. All right, we will
come back.
Getting
everything back.
Ryan McGee is going to join us. We'll talk to him about his book about college football and more. Jason and John, 99.5 FM, ESPN.
Only one Mid-South radio station offers Rewind. Rewind. Never miss a moment. Like a DVR for radio. Rewind. Just use 92.9 FM ESPN on the free radio.com app or online at 92.9ESPN.com. Never miss a moment with 92.9 FM ESPN. 92.9 FM ESPN is the Mid-South smart speaker station. Just say, play 92.9 ESPN.
Why so serious? So raise your glass if you are wrong. And all the right ways on the
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading value brand. So you can get back to the party. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
This is time that matters. A window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
Frontier Western Store is open and ready to serve you for all your needs in boots, apparel, pet food, and more. Frontier is proud to be a local leader here in the Mid-South when it comes to boots. Stop by the store today for an incredible selection of name brand work and dress boots. Come browse aisles and aisles of top quality boots at everyday low prices in their world-famous boot showroom. Dan Post, Rocky, Durango, Twisted X, Georgia, Ariat, and many more. There's so many styles, colors, and fits available, you might need a hand picking out your favorites. Luckily, Frontier's knowledgeable sales staff will cheerfully assist you with any questions you have and ensure the proper fit of your new boots. Frontier also has an amazing selection of jeans and shirts by Wrangler, Ariat, and Carhartt, as well as a fully stocked women's boutique department with thousands of tops and dresses at unbelievable prices. New arrivals often. Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and on the web at frontierwesternstore.com. Family owned and operated since 1967.
Memphis is home of the blues, barbecue, and Blue Note Juke Joint. It's bold like the blues and smoother than smooth. Enjoy it neat, on the rocks, or in a cocktail. Ask for it at your favorite liquor store, bar, or restaurant. Blue Note Bourbon Juke Joint.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Ryan McGee is a senior writer for ESPN, and he's the author of brand new book, Sidelines and Bloodlines, A Father, His Sons, and Our Life in College Football. And he joins us now. Hey, Ryan, what's going on, man? Appreciate the time.
Hey, no, I appreciate you guys having me. It's we're all just sitting and waiting to see what football games we may or may not get to watch next.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah, here in Memphis, we got to wait till September 25th for the next one. So.
Yeah, well, people in Tennessee kept thinking, other than Austin Peay, they kept thinking they'd get to watch games, and everything keeps getting pushed back. But you know what? I've said this all day. My feeling about this is what we used to tell my daughter when she was in elementary school: you get what you get, and you don't pitch a fit. So we'll take whatever we can get.
Amen.
And it'll be more than I thought we were going to get.
That's exactly right, man. So before we get into the rest of college football, what's happened so far? I do want to talk to you about your book here. It's Sidelines and Bloodlines, A Father, His Sons, and Our Life in College Football. And it's about sort of, you know, your life with your dad, who was, a renowned official in college football. So just sort of in terms of the process of this, what made you want to sit down and do this?
Well, these are the stories in the book that my family has told forever. You know, whether it's a dinner or whether it's to a touchdown club or whether you just had too many beers and you're oversharing. We've been telling these stories my whole life, and this just was a gift, man, to be able to my dad worked 404 games at FBS level, but he worked small college games for years before that, high school games. I grew up on sidelines, and my brother grew up on sidelines. And so, you know, I think we all love sports in large part because of what we watched with our family or what we played with our family or, you know, who was your dad or your mom's favorite team or your granddad's favorite team or your alma mater. And so for us, it wasn't any different. It just was, my brother and I got a little more access than others. And I learned how to cuss. I learned how to cuss two ways. Listen to Eddie Murphy stand up and listen to people yell at my dad on Saturday afternoons.
Did you have to develop thick skin? Like, I wondered about that. Did it ever get tough to watch dad out there when I guess the other fans are trying to curse him out? Or did you just pick up on all the curse words and not worry about what they were saying about dad?
So my brother and I had kind of a routine that we picked up after a while. You know, in the beginning it was hard because I think I was 12 when Dad broke into the ACC, and my brother was 9. But eventually we fixed it. So the officials' families get a handful of free tickets to the games. But as you can imagine, these are not skybox seats. These are we're in the cheap seats with the drunk townies. I mean, we're in, and there's always the one guy that thinks that he's there. Everybody's there to watch him yell at the referees. Well, my brother and I had a routine, and we would identify that guy, and we'd let him go for about, like fishing, like deep sea fishing. You let him run with that line for about a quarter and a half. And then eventually, when he really laid into the officials, my brother and I would stand up, and I'd go, hey, And the guy would look at us, and I go, quit yelling at our dad. And my brother would look like he was going to cry. And it would always shut him up, no matter what stadium we were in. That shut that guy up for the rest of the day. So it was we kind of had our routine. But it was, listen, guys, I had sideline credentials when I was 13. I got first time I got run over by a linebacker from North Carolina, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the history of the world. So it was and that's what we write about. And if you ever wonder what the coach is yelling at the official and what the official is yelling back at the coach, my dad will tell you that in the book.
Well, I think the two most sort of thankless professions in the United States are teachers and officials. Because I just – were there ever nights where your dad, you know, got home, he was like, man, you know what, that was a great night, and everybody appreciated what I did. Like, I feel like that moment never happens or comes for officials.
You have to appreciate it yourself. Now, there were nights – so the mark of a great night, if you are a sports official, is that no one says anything.
Right.
Like, you go home, no one pats you on the back or tries to punch you in the face, that's a good night. Because my dad's last game was the 09 BCS championship game. It was Tebow in Florida and Bradford in Oklahoma.
Wow.
And I'll never forget, prior to that game, Ron Cherry was the white hat. He was the referee in that game. I remember Ron Cherry's speech. I got to hang out with the officials all night. I wrote a story about it. But Ron's speech to the guys was, we're going to paint this house, and we're going to get out of here before everybody realizes it. And what he's saying is, we're just going to do our deal and hope nobody even knows that we were here. That's their goal, is to be invisible, because, you know, they don't get paid a lot. You know, they all have other jobs.
Yep.
This is something they just do it because they love it. And so, but your goal is that no one knows your name when the game is over with. Because if they know your name, then something bad happens.
You're exactly right. Did you ever have like a brick or a rock thrown through your window, or did it never reach that point?
Nah, it never got to that point. But I tell you what used to happen all the time was, I grew up in Raleigh, and my dad was an ACC official. Mm. So, you know, you go to church on Sunday morning, and everybody in your church,
they know.
It was either a Wake fan, Duke fan, North Carolina fan, or NC State fan, and there was a pretty good chance Dad had worked a game the day before of one of those four schools back when he was in the ACC. And we would go to church on Sunday morning, and I could tell what had happened in Dad's game based on who was standing in the parking lot waiting on us. Because there were always people, particularly when it was North Carolina, there were always people waiting on Dad to say, now, why in the world would you have called that pass interference against North Carolina in the fourth quarter? And they couldn't believe he'd do it, because they'd be like, you're from North Carolina. Like, he's supposed to help them.
Right.
and that's not how that works.
What's the Big Ten going to do, Ryan?
They're going to play, obviously. I just don't know when they're going to do it. I mean, it's, there's two very different groups that are in these meetings right now. There's the group that says, we got to do this now. And then there's a group that says, we had a pretty good plan, let's just stick to the plan. And I think that maybe the underappreciated part of all this is the role of the Pac-12. And listen, none of these conferences have cooperated with each other. None of them have. Not the Power Five, not the Gang of Five. But I think in this case, I think the Pac-12 and the Big Ten realize they kind of need each other. Because if they want to play a second Rose Bowl, and if they want to have multiple bowl games, they're going to have to get on the same page. So I wouldn't be surprised if when the Big Ten vote finally happens, if we don't find out that they were in touch with their friends on the West Coast before they made a decision.
I mean,
interesting.
I feel like they should be playing, right? I feel like there's a way to do it. But I have to wonder if they are sitting back. I mean, there has not been much compelling evidence that this is going to work very smoothly. For example,
right.
Memphis isn't playing again until September 25th because of an
right.
outbreak of COVID. There are several other programs, SMU, TCU, they couldn't play because of an outbreak. I believe the official number is basically a third or about a third of the 75, 76 programs that are playing have either had to pause or postpone games now because of COVID. So, like, I just wonder – you know, intellectually, Ryan, if you're the Big Ten, what the hell have you seen since August 10th that would change your mind?
Nothing. And what I have told all of our friends here in our corner of the country, whether they be Big 12 fans, whether they be American Football Conference fans, ACC, whoever. I've told them all, quit gloating. Quit thumbing your nose at the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the Mountain West and whomever else, because they might be right. And, you know, so I say you take care of what you can take care of, and you let them take care of what they can take care of. But I always go back to Marty McGee. Greg Sankey was on with us. The commissioner of the SEC was on with us way back on, like, June 10th or July 10th. It was right after the Big Ten and Pac-12 initially said conference only, so way back in early July. And he said to us he was not confident they could play. But he also said his plan was always to take as much time as they possibly could before they played. And that's why they're not playing until the end of September, because they were waiting to see exactly the stuff you're talking about. You know, Tennessee canceled a scrimmage because they ain't got enough guys. You know, you got to wait and see what happens. And so that's why I was surprised as many schools played as early in September as they did. And that's why I've never been surprised that all those other conferences were going to wait until, you know, winter or spring. So, my personal approach to all this has been more cautious than a lot of my friends.
Yeah.
So as a result, I don't criticize those guys. What I criticize the Big Ten is how they handled it.
How they did it, right.
Yeah, you got to get on the same page, man. You know, Mike Slive and Roy Kramer, those guys years ago got all those SEC coaches in a room and said, y'all got to get on the same page. You know, even if you don't like each other, even if you don't agree publicly, you have to look like we're on the same page. And as a result, they've been the dominant conference in college sports for 20 years. And the Big Ten has just been – and the Pac-12, to their credit, no one's saying a word out there. And right. Why? Because they've signed on. This is what the plan is.
Yeah.
And so – the Big Ten has not distinguished themselves.
Well, and a lot of those, you know, schools are in areas where they can't even practice, right? Like, the restrictions are so
right.
Where they can't even freaking
yep.
hold a practice. So it's like the Pac – we know we ain't getting Pac-12 after dark. Like, we know that's done for a season
yep.
at least. We are, of course, talking to the great Ryan McGee, ESPN senior writer. Get his new book, Sidelines and Bloodlines, A Father, His Sons, and Our Life in College Football. Let's kind of play this out, though, Ryan. Let's say that the Big Ten takes a vote. And let's say that when they take that vote, that they vote to play. And let's say that October is the start date. From a sort of public standpoint, from a narrative standpoint, how do you present that? What does the Big Ten say in terms of what compelled them to move?
Well, I mean, if they're being honest with us, what compelled them to move was they couldn't sit and watch everybody else play. I mean, simple as that. It's not any more complicated than that. And if they're in a rush to get in line with the schools that are playing, and they want to have a team in the college football playoff, and, you know, they want Ohio State, I'd really be curious to see how everyone in Columbus was doing if this was, like, you know, I don't know, 10 years ago when they didn't have Justin Fields and they weren't preseason number two. You know, but I think they if they're being honest with us, it's because they know they have a chance to win a national championship and put a lot of teams in bowl games, and that's why they want to do it. And that's it. I mean, that's the A to Z of it. And so they could not sit at home and watch other teams play, watch high school teams play right there in their own states, and in good conscience feel like they, you know, feel like they can't play. So it's not any more complicated than that. But I tell you this, the president of the University of Michigan is one of the foremost, like, communicable disease experts right. on planet Earth. And as long as he's in that room, I think it's going to take an awful lot to get everyone else. I always go back to Barry Alvarez being in the room with the college football playoff committee. They always said that Barry Alvarez could steer that room. Because just force of will and his reputation. And I wouldn't be surprised if the president of Michigan did that too. But, yeah, hey, it's not boring, is it? Hey, listen, I've told everybody. I wrote this last week on ESPN.com. The positive spin on this is we could have college football. Theoretically, we could have college football from Labor Day weekend until, like, Easter.
Crazy.
And it's like Ricky Bobby's kids. Remember Ricky Bobby's kids when Ricky Bobby – Carly threw Ricky Bobby out of the house and they're divorced. We're going to get two Christmases. If we get two Rose Bowls out of this deal – that'd not be such a bad thing.
Well, let's play it out and say the Big Ten doesn't. To that point, Michigan says no, and finally, you know, everybody else says the same thing. Do you? I've heard this argued both ways, Ryan. Curious where you come down. Do you subscribe to the theory that this is the Group of Five's best chance, that they'd actually reserve a spot for one of them in the college football playoff, or that, no, when it came down to it, you'd either go to SEC, get Notre Dame and Clemson, whatever they do. Do you think a Memphis or a UCF can get in this year, a Cincy if they run the table, or anybody else? Do you think that's truly a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best possibility they're ever going to have. I mean, the system is always going to be rigged against them.
Right.
You know, if they didn't put UCF in after they won X amount of games 2 years in a row or whatever, they're never going to put anybody in.
Right.
Yeah, and so what I've said all along is, and listen, I like 14 playoff. I'm team 14 playoff. In the beginning, I wanted 16 like they do 1AA, but now I've changed my mind. I like 14. I like people having to work hard to get in there. But even if they expand the playoff to 16, it's still going to be rigged against the Group of Five. That's just how it's going to be, and it sucks, but that's just the way it is. And so, this is that's a really long way of saying this is the year. So somebody could 100% crash the party, but they're going to have a UCF type of year.
Right.
They're going to have to put up the numbers, and they're going to have to be entertaining, and they're going to have a player that captures people's imagination. So, yeah, if somebody steps up and does it, then absolutely. Hey, man, we're living in a world where, like,
that's true,
all these people have watched Austin Peay football for the last two weekends. Yeah. So if there was ever, a year when the other guys could crash it, it's going to be 2020.
No, you're exactly right. Then got to ask you, our old friend here in Memphis, Mike Norvell, at Florida State, was not a very smashing debut, you would say. Do you think they're handling it really well with a lot of perspective in Tallahassee today, Ryan?
Yeah, I think that they don't. He understands, but I don't think people down there understood how bare the cupboard was. And I like Jimbo Fisher fine, but I mean, he burned the buildings down as he walked out the door. And so they were always going to have trouble. And I mean, listen, Marty Smith and I, we were supposed to be in the blimp over their home opener 2 years ago.
That's right.
We ended up sitting in the end zone. And that was the night that the head coach got fired after one quarter of football. He just got to finish out the year. So the cupboard is bare down there, and they got some rebuilding to do. But, yeah, you guys, I know how y'all feel about him. I'm a Norvell guy. So if everybody would be willing to just hang tight and watch Clemson win a couple more national championships while you're rebuilding, then it'll be worth it in the end.
Yeah, I think he's going to be just fine. Although it has not been a great tenure so far. He's kind of stepped in it. But, yeah, I think he'll end up being fine. Hey, Ryan, man, congrats on the book, and we appreciate the time as always,
man.
Thank you,
sir. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Yep. He is Ryan McGee. Again, the book, Sidelines and Bloodlines, A Father, His Sons, and Our Life in College Football, available on Amazon, wherever you get your books. Mike Norvell was trending on Twitter on Saturday night because Florida State fans.
Yeah, they get crazy.
They want him fired.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
Well, they don't like seeing a guy who was, you once had, it felt like, go to Georgia Tech and beat you.
Mm. Georgia Tech, that's a tough one.
Was the cupboard bare? I mean, I know he said
it was
bare.
Yeah, it was.
Was it that bare?
Yeah, because that's why they fired.
It ain't just the skill positions, it's everything.
That's why they fired Willie Taggart.
That quarterback is not great.
Yeah.
He's, no.
I mean, absolutely, the cupboard was bare. I mean, is it opening day loss to Georgia Tech bare? I don't know. I'm not really super familiar with Florida State athletics, to be quite honest with you. But, I mean, I think anytime you have a coach that gets fired, especially after such a short time, that definitely suggests that the cupboard was not full. It was not exactly stocked. So, Mike's going to be fine. I think he's going to be a good coach there. Although, again, man, like, it does feel like it's been one thing after another there with him. Or for him, however you want to say it.
Well, yeah, he's had players calling him out.
Yeah.
Then those players that called him out actually come perform well for you in that game. Marvin Wilson was
fantastic
in that game.
There was the –
Wilson was the first one.
Communication
right?
stuff,
yeah.
Yeah,
and because we could even go back to the protest, right? Like, they said that he actually did not reach out to every
right.
individual
And it was Wilson
player.
That called him out was the initial.
And then there was the COVID protocols. Remember that?
That one seemed to get walked back by the players.
And I'm saying right. that like it just gives off this image, right, of like what's going on at the program. And now, obviously, the opening they lost to Georgia Tech. So that's definitely not a great start. Not a great start.
Oh, he's gonna be fine.
No, I do. I think so. I think he's really good.
Get your offensive line fixed first.
I think he's really good.
That'll go a long way toward helping.
I mean, yeah, Justin Fuente stunk it up his first year.
Hey,
I mean,
that game actually could have been worse. They blocked two kicks. I mean, his special teams he cleaned up.
If Silverfield goes with him,
Is that offensive line as much a problem?
Well,
if he goes with him, and you know,
what do you think? I think you just answered your own question. You know,
and that's what was missing.
I'm not sure. Yep. I'm not sure he would have gone though. By the way,
of course he wouldn't. I said if.
I'm saying if Memphis had not offered him the job,
yes.
I think he would have gone to the NFL.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, that's into that is a different thing than what I thought you were saying.
That's an interesting piece.
Yeah, I think he would have pursued the NFL. Because that's kind of where he's from.
Look to go back to the NFL.
Yeah.
Different situation.
That's kind of where he spent a lot of his career early on, right? It's like the NFL, and I think he was intrigued.
What are you, just another fish in a big pond out of Florida State in terms of as opposed to here?
Are you going to be the – well, think about, like, from this perspective.
So do you go from there to head
coach? When's the next opportunity to be a head coach?
Right,
If you just follow Mike your whole career.
That's interesting.
He's not going to, you know, if they fire Mike, you're not – or, you know, because there's no moving on for him at Florida State. You're at Florida State. So if they fired Mike, it's not like they're going to look at Ryan, whereas the opportunity here, it's why he came. I mean, he always thought Memphis would be a chance.
Came and stayed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He always thought there would be a chance Mike would be a stud and move on. He did. It worked out exactly like he hoped. But I do think he would not have followed Mike to Florida State. He would have gotten back in the NFL. So – anyway, that's an alternate reality where COVID's not a thing and we're over here. We don't have this plexiglass and, you know, we're hugging each other. And
we have some breaking basketball news here to report from John Rothstein. Are you interested?
Please.
2020 Battle for Atlantis will be played at the Sanford Pentagon in South Dakota. Dates to be determined. Field includes Duke, West Virginia, Ohio State, Texas A&M, Utah, Creighton, Wichita State, and the University of Memphis.
Bop, 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 bop.
Go Tigers, go.
I'm glad that's getting preserved. Now, we pretty much knew. Everybody's just totally taking a big dump on South Dakota. Yes, it is not the Bahamas. But you're telling me you can't find something pretty cool to do in South Dakota? I mean, at least you would have.
There's nothing to do there. I can vouch for it, except go watch the basketball game.
Yeah. Well, you have no
like
other
the restaurants connected to the hotel type. You don't. Okay. So just go there and don't go anywhere else.
Can I ask you a question? Are there any black people there?
Man, very few. A brother went in the Cracker Barrel up there with my man Mark Weber. Bro, they looked at me like I had three eyes.
I want to sit down.
Like they hadn't had a brother in there ever.
I want to sit down with a
black. Like everything, not just the snow, everything white.
I want to sit down with a black person who lives in South Dakota.
At Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
And I want to look them in their eyes and I want to say, how? How did this happen? You know, I mean, because like there's got to be like a great story behind it, because it's just not something that happens. You know, it's crazy. So I would like to know how did you end up in South Dakota? I'd like to ask that of anybody that lives there. How did you end up in South Dakota?
A bunch of white people.
You know,
that's what you who you're gonna be asking.
And I'm assuming the majority of them would say like, I love the outdoors. I love hiking and mountains and things like that.
I love gray skies. And
is it always gray,
gray
out there?
Or white?
Really?
The ground is white because it's all snow, and the sky is gray, and a bunch of Cracker Barrels.
That's it. That's all you have in South Dakota?
Man, I've been there.
White people, South Dakota, gray skies.
So you just stick to the basketball, which the basketball will be high level. That is good news for Memphis.
Yeah, it's good. What a field.
But I mean, this is the year you want to be in something like this with the roster that they have. This
do you
isn't
not
last
think
year
there
even,
are things
with
to
no
do
experience.
In the state entirely?
Stop it.
Man, like a park or something?
Mount
Rushmore.
I don't know how fast you can get there from Sioux Falls. I didn't check into that.
Dude, Mount Rushmore.
I was there for the Wichita State game only.
How did that happen? Mount Rushmore. How did that happen?
Because they needed a place to do it, fool.
But I'm saying, how did somebody carve faces into
here.
Stone, Jason?
White man did it.
What is the Sanford Pentagon? I've never heard of that.
Yeah. It's a nice little arena they got. I want to tell you, they got a G League or something that played in that thing.
It's not the Cow Palace, though, or whatever they got down at a Corn Palace.
No, that's not.
That's actually a different area.
It's actually a nice, up-to-date
that's
arena.
This is a slick place, though.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
If I have this thing, it'll be a great place for it. There's no question about it. The arena's fine. Media seating was terrible, but the arena itself is fine. In the middle of nowhere. But that's okay, because you're going to have Memphis and Duke and a bunch of others out there.
Well, it's perfect for COVID, then.
I mean, how did somebody do this with Mount Rushmore?
See, I knew you were stuck on Rushmore. You're not even going to be able to finish the show, dude.
Look at it.
Oh my God.
It's only been sitting there for what? decades, years. You never wondered about it before now, and all of a sudden, John Martin's got the essential the big question of the day, Mount Rushmore, how?
But you don't think it's an impressive—
People have been wondering that all the time. Fool, you hadn't even been there.
Like Stonehenge, but like you don't wonder like how somebody had such detail and such a massive thing, such a massive project, how they did this. How did they do it? How long did it take?
I'll tell you how. White man, rappled down, chisel, bang, bang, bang.
Oh, you think it's
done.
Just
that? Took a lot of time, John.
You make
this
it
ain't
sound
like the Egyptians building the pyramid, fool.
It's in the same category.
No,
to me.
It's not.
It is.
Only to your small brain.
It is. It is absolutely in the same. I mean, again, this is like a really
this
good.
This ain't Stonehenge and the pyramids, John.
Look at it.
White man repelled
down. Oh, you
down,
would love it if Obama was on
it
here.
Out.
If Obama was on here, you would say it was the best. It was the
you
best.
Need to add a fifth face for Obama and what he did for you in this country.
If Obama was on here, you couldn't wait to take CJ to this thing. It is a marvel. It is a marvel in this country, and I hope that the Tigers have a chance to see it. You know, and admire it.
Again, you got no. You didn't even look it up. I have no idea how far the two are.
Hold on.
It's ridiculous.
Distance, Keystone, South Dakota, distance from Sioux Falls. Man, you can get there in a day, man. Let's see. It's only 338 miles. It's a day trip.
Penny don't need to go see that mess.
It's a day trip. So
it is one of the wonders of the world? No.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Just
no,
in John's
not,
mind,
I don't think
Brad.
So. I
don't fall
so.
For it.
Is
no.
Stonehenge one of the wonders of the world?
Yes, I believe so.
What's so special about Stonehenge?
It's old as hell.
It's just a bunch of damn rocks.
So how did they get there in that formation, fool?
So what's the circle?
Oh, that is not. Stonehenge is not it. Great Wall of China, Christ the Redeemer, that Rio de Janeiro. That makes sense.
Aren't the pyramids are one, aren't they?
I think so, yeah.
Pyramid, Petra in Jordan, Taj Mahal in India, Roman Colosseum. The Picchu in Peru.
Machu Picchu.
Thank you.
You're right. I mean, Stonehenge is pretty.
Those are the seven. And then
you do
the,
wonder, like, how do they lift the rocks on top of the other rocks?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
China. Also.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about China.
China, the wrestler.
Oh, the wrestler of the China. I'm sorry. Beg your pardon.
She was the ninth wonder of the world.
Hold on. Moment of silence for China. She's gone.
She's been gone for a while. Don't treat me like a woman. Mm. Don't treat me like a man. You remember that one?
Yeah, that's a proper tribute.
Thank you.
Is there a documentary about Stonehenge?
I'm not sure.
There should be a documentary about Mount Rushmore.
Bro, you're not excited about Memphis playing this tournament.
Isn't it weird how he's...
neglecting this tournament with all of your might.
Because my life does not revolve around sports.
It revolves around this Memphis basketball team.
It's your job, for God's sakes. Both of them.
And now
you got more non-conference in here that can help your
other interests.
What the hell is wrong with you?
It's going to help Memphis have a top four seed. Boom.
I want to know about Mount Rushmore. I want to know about Stonehenge.
God.
I want to know about, you know, a bunch of stuff. By the way, Venus might have signs of life. Look it up.
I wonder. Hey, did you see Neil deGrasse Tyson said in a billion years we're gone. So
that's it. Just
yeah.
A billion?
So enjoy your tournament in South Dakota, bro.
Yes, right. You put it in perspective.
Yeah.
You need to focus. Matter of fact.
Thank you.
We're gonna send you up there so you do focus. You're headed to Sioux Falls to cover a monster
you
tournament,
might need
monster
it.
Preseason tournament.
I'm writing an exclusive interview with bringing Mount Rushmore. I'm interviewing each president.
That ain't your
job. I don't know, Jason. I don't know what to do.
But anyway, there you go. Now, hopefully that we get a good matchup there. All right.
Thank you.
I'll talk a little sports for all you red meat loving Americans out there. All right. Hopefully they get Duke. That'd be nice. Nice to get a Duke.
This is
the battle
year.
Of the rejected assistant.
You can't. Well, he was not rejected. I mean, he was coveted.
Pardon?
He was coveted.
I don't know the story. You'll have to tell me.
He was the assistant. Well, he rejected Memphis.
Leverage.
Oh, good. Thanks for the heads up. I'm trying to figure it out.
He rejected Memphis.
Okay.
But maybe we can get a little Duke action. But a lot of great possibilities. West Virginia even would be fun, right? Bob Huggins.
Is Antoine Jones still at Creighton?
Yeah. I think
Ooh,
so.
There's some connection. There's a story.
Yeah, there's a lot of juicy possibilities here. But anyway, it is official. It sounds like, according to Jolly Rossing, that they're going to preserve that event. All right, we will come back, wrap it up. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Jeff Calkins.
You called Arthur Smith, who's a Memphian originally. Of course, his father's Fred Smith, and he's the offensive coordinator of the Titans. You recently called him the most underrated offensive coordinator out there.
Because his knack for play calling is exceptional.
The Jeff Calkins Show, weekdays 9 a.m. till 11 a.m., 92.9 FM, ESPN.
ESPN, Memphis's sports station. Get us on Instagram, instagram.com/929ESPN.
It sure was nice seeing the teams back out on the gridiron over the weekend. Lucky for us, that was just week one. There's no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings, at the leader in one-day fantasy sports. So to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head on over to the App Store now, because you don't want to miss this. You draft your lineup now, you feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch just means more with DraftKings. It's simple. Pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. DraftKings has paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012, so they know a thing or two about cold, hard cash. Download the DraftKings app now. Use code WMFS. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week, so don't miss out on the Week 2 action. Enter code WMFS to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code WMFS. Only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Grab the usual suspects, pick your nearest or dearest trail, and get ready to leave your worries at base camp. Because Honda is here with a great getaway event to help our family of riders plan an escape from the routine. It's all happening now at DeSoto Honda in Olive Branch. That's where you'll find exclusive offers on your favorite Honda motorcycles, ATVs, and side-by-sides, like the 4Trax Foreman. Built to never quit, it offers the comfort you need on long rides and work days. Plus, the bigger engine for 2020 means even more of the proven power you expect from a Honda ATV. Right now, you can ride off on the Foreman and save big with up to $600 in factory-to-dealer incentives on select models. Visit or call DeSoto Honda, 5656 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and hatch a plan for adventure during the Honda Great Getaway Event. Factory-to-dealer incentives are good with select new and unregistered models. See dealer for complete program details.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Well, it's Monday, which for me means time for a drink. And guess what I'm going to plop down on the couch with? A nice, smooth glass of Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. It's my go-to bourbon. It should be your go-to bourbon as well. Smoother than smooth. That is what they say over at Blue Note. And it's true. That is what you notice with every sip. It's made right here in Memphis, aged and crafted right here in Memphis. And in my opinion, it's more important than ever before to support locally. You can do that with Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. Get it wherever your favorite liquors are sold. Just $29.99. What are you waiting for? It's smoother than smooth. Go pick up a bottle today. By the way, you mentioned this during the break. Week one of the NFL season also means week one of the NFL season on the Super Box. How did we do?
We did it. Got through all the games. Now, I must say, there's a reason why I didn't tweet in real time about Anthony Miller catching that touchdown, because when you're watching the ticket on Super Box, you're going to be about 3-4 minutes late. It's coming in a little late. Had to have your own bubble so ESPN and your friends aren't telling you what's going on. You're a few plays behind. That said, I'll take it rather than paying the fees I was, John.
All righty. Yeah. Well, there you have it. Enjoy it while it lasts,
my friend.
Watch
your sorry Raiders.
Enjoy it while it lasts. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jason Fitz. Thanks to Tim Brando. Thanks to Ryan McGee. Gino and Jeffrey are up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're going.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say play 92.9 ESPN.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company, which has reopened at 50% capacity. They've instituted sanitation procedures greater than what the CDC and health department require, including a three-step approach to sanitizing tables so you can get back inside right now. So go order online at memphisbbqco.com.
In a time when preventive care is more important than ever, routine oral and eye checkups could save your life. That's why Delta Dental of Tennessee offers dental and vision plans starting at less than $1 a day. For example, our large network of dentists can detect 120 signs and symptoms of diseases before they're life-threatening. Keep your health care costs low and your health at an all-time high with the power of preventive dental and vision plans from Delta Dental of Tennessee. Choose your health first. Choose Delta Dental.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español?
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely going to help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real-life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy con fome. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et d'où viens-tu?
Now try Babbel for free. Just go to babbel.com to start learning a new language today. That's BABBEL.com.
This is Joe. Joe thinks he's seen it all.
I've seen it all. Golden-crusted pork chop? Seen it. Cat with a dog tattoo? Seen it.
But when it comes to identity theft, Joe only monitors his credit and bank statements.
Psh, credit fraud? Seen it.
He doesn't realize that with so much of his personal info out there, his identity could be at risk in ways he might never know about, like a new loan in his name or his personal info for sale on the dark web.
Whoa, didn't see that coming.
LifeLock helps detect and alerts you to a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, a dedicated U.S.-based specialist will work to fix it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.